Sunday Night Live from the Calvary Church in Quincy, Louisiana, United States of America. We're so delighted that you have clicked on to the shortest 30 minutes in gospel broadcasting, and to share our service and message with you is the joy of our lives. God bless you wherever you are, whatever culture, whatever country. You are in our hearts, and we're concerned about your health, about your well-being, about your spiritual condition, and we present Jesus Christ as the answer for all of your problems. Please listen carefully. Now, each week we receive messages from far and near, and our missions director, missionary Gerald Schultz, will share a couple of those messages with you today, and I'll be right back in a little bit with the Word of the Lord. Let's welcome missionary Gerald Schultz to the Sunday Night Live microphone. God bless you, Brother Schultz.
Thank you so much, Brother Hicks. It's so good to be here again for Sunday Night Live at Calvary Church. We have two wonderful messages here, and for the sake of time conservation, we're going to just read two. We're so happy to get these messages, though, and we want the people that are out there listening to this great broadcast to continue to send messages. I'd like to have you just swamp us to where we can't begin to cover them all. First message says, thanks so much, Pastor Hicks. It was in 1964 that you baptized me and my parents after we learned the greatness of the oneness of God. I recently noticed you on the Apostolic Alive website. You can still put as much in 15 minutes and most can in an hour. I'm retired from the state as an environmental engineer and I'm living near Tyler with Pam, my wife of 35 years. We have two children and two grandchildren. God is great and may you always be greatly blessed. Charles Miller. Isn't that a great message? Causes Brother Hicks to smile when he sees those messages. Here's another one. It says, Pastor Hicks and Missionary Schultz, thank you for visiting us and giving us the message on communicating with God. He always speaks to my heart during your broadcast, and the inspiration of Sunday Night Live sets the service apart from other media productions. What a blessing that you don't ask for money, but you preach the gospel and use every minute to the glory of God. Please keep sending the broadcast service to us. Rita Ray Coe in London, England. Now, I hope you enjoy these messages that come from far and near, and we'd like to have you contact Brother Hicks. You can do so by writing Calvary Church at Box 715, DeQuincy, Louisiana, 70633. Or you can click on the internet, www.calvarysnl@aol.com. And now, here is the theme song that has for many years introduced Pastor Hicks to preach the Word. His subject today is the house by the side of the road. Listen with us, if you will. Thank you very much. God bless you. It was 36 years ago in Tioga, Louisiana, at the Pentecostal campground. A great crowd had assembled, 1972, and God gave me this message to preach then. I haven't preached it since, but I want you to hear it today on Sunday Night Live. And to introduce the message, I would like to take you back 36 years from this date. And on that night, I stepped to the pulpit at the campground and announced the subject. After you hear the announcement of the subject, 1972, I'll be back in 2008 to preach the message for you. Let's listen.
That blessed old black-back Bible we preach out of. Psalms chapter 25, verses 1 through 4. I remember one time I came into this tabernacle. The place was packed and jammed on the 4th of July, and I sat down in a pew over there, and I handed my Bible to a little boy, and I said, why don't you preach tonight to all these people? I was just sort of teasing him a little. Quick as a flash, he fired back and said, if I would, I'd preach shorter time than you preach, and I'll guarantee you that. Well, I'll try to please them all. We left short ones and long ones, good ones and bad ones. God bless you. Praise waiteth for thee, O God in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me as for our transgressions. Thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. I want to use that verse tonight. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, and speak to you on the subject, the house by the side of the road. Let's all say that together. The house by the side of the road. Thank you, and you may be seated. And now we're back in 2008, speaking on the subject, the house by the side of the road. Samuel Voss, the great poet, was walking away from his home one day and ventured much farther than he had planned. The heat of the day made him very, very weary. As he walked down the lonely road, he saw a sign. It said, "Welcome, traveler. Come in and drink and be refreshed." Then he saw a bench and a sign that said, "Rest yourself." Then there was an apple tree and another sign. "Apples are free. Help yourself to them." Then an old man appeared. Mr. Voss asked him, "Why all of this kindness?" The simple answer was, "There is plenty water. The bench will accumulate dust if not set upon, and the apples will eventually fall from the tree." So he said, "I decided to be a friend to all who passed by." And when the great poet left, he decided to write a poem about the house by the side of the road. There are hermit souls that live withdrawn in the peace of their self-content. There are souls like stars that dwell apart in a fellowless firmament. There are pioneer souls who blaze their path where highways never ran. But just let me live in a house by the side of the road and be a friend to man. Let me live in a house by the side of the road where the race of men go by, the men who are good and the men who are bad, as good and bad as I. I would not sit in this corner seat or hurl the cynic's ban. Just let me live in a house by the side of the road and be a friend to man. From the wood of the cradle to the marble of the tomb, all of us pass the house. Some come in and are saved.
Others ignore the tender invitation. They're like souls, hermit souls. They ignore the tender invitation. They bite the dust. They perish in their thirst and starve in the midst of plenty. These people can't see the forest from the trees. They overlook an orchid while searching for a rose. Unconverted men seek to find God in temples, towers, and palaces. They look amidst architectural finery. But the truth is, God is in the humble mission, the little church on the side of the road. Thank God for construction. Thank God for great buildings that are going up in the name of the Lord. Millions of dollars are being spent, and that's all well and good. But ladies and gentlemen, let me give you a word of warning. Don't ever outgrow your Pentecostal experience. Repentance, water baptism by immersion, not sprinkling, in the name of Jesus Christ, and being filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues, as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. Build your great temples, but don't ever outgrow the message that you got in the house by the side of the road. In 1906, God bypassed the First Methodist Church in Los Angeles, California, and he appeared at the Asbury House, 214 Bonnie Bray Street, the little house by the side of the road in Los Angeles, California. And then, of course, from there to Azusa Street, and then around the world. The truth is, every great religion begins with a man. God chooses and ordains and anoints men. Then it becomes a movement when this message of the truth begins to spread around the world. But the danger is, the movement can become a machine. And once the movement becomes a machine, there's only one thing left. It becomes a monument. But the true church will not follow such a deteriorating course, because Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Ladies and gentlemen, you simply cannot bypass the church. It's here to stay. I hear radio preachers say, this can be your church. Send me your tithe and offerings. Television ministers say, make this telecast your church and send us your tithe. Totally unscriptural. Try them when you need a sick call or you need a funeral and see how little response you get. The Bible is correct. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together in the house of God, the little house by the side of the road, even so much more as you see the day approaching. Now I want to talk about the pioneer souls who blazed the trail and made a way. Walk with me among the Israelites down in Egypt. Walk down that lonely road. It's night. Black, pitch blackness and darkness is everywhere. There is no light from the moon. And pass by the houses of the Egyptians. You can't see the fence. You can't see a door. You can't see a window. Not even the silhouette of the roof is visible. And then cross the next hill. Look! What is that I see there? There is a house by the side of the road. They believe in one God. They are Israelites. And the Bible says in Exodus 10 and 23, there was thick darkness in all the land of Egypt. They saw not one another. But there was light in Israel's dwellings. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, in the darkest night, in the house by the side of the road where truth is, once again, the majestic God says, let there be light, and there is light. The blasphemous poem, Invictus, expresses the darkness of its atheistic author. Out of the night that covers me, he says, dark as a pit from pole to pole. I thank whatever gods that be for my unconquerable soul. And he says, I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. No wonder atheists play in the dark. They miss the light that is so visible in the little house by the side of the road. I will delight, Lord. I will receive joy. I will be happy. I will be satisfied with the goodness of thy house. Now we go to Jericho. Back in your Old Testament, Joshua sent spies into Jericho to see the strength of the enemy. The king heard that the spies were there. They sent out a squad of soldiers to kill them. Desperation, these three spies knocked on the door of a house by the side of the road. Who answered the door? Rahab, the prostitute. What a surprise. But they agreed on a plan that when the walls of Jericho begin to crumble to the ground and Joshua's army marches in, she should hang a scarlet cord over the window, and she and her family will be spared in the house by the side of the road. The walls fell. Jericho was conquered, and she was spared because there was a symbol of blood hanging from the window in the house by the side of the road. Oh, my friends, I will be satisfied in the house of God if there is a blood message. But if you don't preach the cross and the blood, there is no hope when judgment comes. In preaching the Louisiana camp meeting a number of years ago, I heard Governor McKeithen stand in the pulpit. And he said, I looked at the songbooks in my own church in Baton Rouge, and there was not one song in there about the blood of Jesus Christ. I went to our pastor and I said, if you have some books ordered that mention the blood of Jesus in the songs, I will pay the bill. It was done. You don't have a church without the blood. There is no hope without the blood. The message of the house by the side of the road is that we're not redeemed with such corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. A young man by the name of G.T. Haywood walked by a church in Indianapolis, Indiana. He was so touched by the singing, he turned around, went into that church, and there he was baptized in the name of Jesus and filled with the Holy Ghost. Later he became a minister and a bishop, and he gave us the words of testimony. He said, in sin I wandered sore and sad, with bleeding heart and aching head, till Jesus came and said to me, I'll take your sins away. Thank God, he said, for the blood. It washes whiter than snow. It was he who penned those famous words on Calvary's hill of sorrow, where sin's demands were paid, and rays of hope for tomorrow across my path were laid. I see a crimson stream of blood. It flows from Calvary. Its waves, which reach the throne of God, are sweeping over me. All of this, my friends, because a young man stopped one night at the house by the side of the road. There was a man who was given to strong drink. He abused his wife and his children. Every Friday, he would leave the job and go to the tavern. By 9 or 10, he came home drunk. He would stomp upon the porch, open the door, beat his wife, and frighten the children. Then one night, she heard the steps upon the porch. The door opened gently. The children were hiding in the bedroom. She was ready to be abused. But he walked in, and she said, you're not drunk? He said, no. What happened? He said, I was walking down the road to the tavern. I passed a little place, a house by the side of the road. And they were singing, "Just as I am, without one plea." That thy blood was shed for me, and I walked in. And wife, I've been baptized in Jesus' name. I received the Holy Ghost and spake in tongues while I stood in the baptistry. My hair is still wet now, and I'm home to be a husband to you and a good father to my children. Thank God that he stopped in the house by the side of the road. Let me go back again to the Old Testament. Jacob fled from his brother. He was weary when he put his head upon the stone at Mount Bethel. During the night, he had a dream. He saw a ladder which reached to heaven. The angels were ascending and descending. God spoke to him. That morning, Jacob woke. He shook himself and brushed the dirt and dust off of his robe. And he made a statement that rings true to my subject. He said, "The Lord is in this place." Now here stands a builder. He says, "Wait a minute, Jacob, are you feeling all right? Do you have a fever? We're standing on the top of a mountain. You're standing on a rock. And you're talking about being in." Thank God for the house by the side of the road. Jacob further insisted, it's not only an in place, but he said, "This is the house of God and the gate of heaven." A house without a door, a house without windows, a gate without hinges, and a gate without a fence, because God was with him. Thank God. He went for 30 years down into Mesopotamia and then into Shechem. After 30 years away from God, he heard a voice telling him, "Jacob, go back to Bethel." He did. And the long trip, one day he said to the wonderful company of children, grandchildren that were following him, "Halt! I found the place." He went up to the top of this little Mount Bethel. There was the same stone. And Jacob put his head on that stone and said, "God, here I am. I'm back now." And the greatest scripture in all of that Old Testament says, "And God met him again." Oh, my friend, if you'll just get back to the house by the side of the road, back where you left, the same God is there. Oh, hear my burden to preach to you today that you know the way back. It's the same road that leads back to Calvary. And when you get back where you used to be, you'll find that the house is still there. The prodigal son knew where his house was. So he arose and went back to his father's house. The Bible tells us about a man who went from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. The priest came by and the Levite came by and they ignored him. The good Samaritan got down off of his beast into the ditch where the man was. Poured his wounds full of oil and wine, took him to an inn, and paid the bill, and told the innkeeper, "If the bill is more when I return, I will repay." Ladies and gentlemen, God picked all of us up in the ditch of despair. He put you in a house by the side of the road. I come to you telling you, appreciate your church more than you ever have in your life. God poured your wounds full of oil and committed your care to a pastor who loves your soul. And for every tear he sheds in your care, God said, "I will repay when I return." Thank God for the house by the side of the road. And now, in conclusion, let me show you what God did to save you in the house by the side of the road. First, we must discredit the story that God told Jesus that he should go down and die on a cross to save men. And at the moment of his death, God would turn his face away. And Jesus would cry, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" The truth is, my friend, that God himself came to redeem us. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. 2 Corinthians 5:19. When the angels heard that God would descend to earth, I can hear them say, "Oh Lord, shall we gather 10,000 angels' wings and weave them together to provide for you comfort on your trip to that sin-benighted earth. God says, no, angels, I'm not going there that way. But then the angel said, Lord, shall we summon the clouds of heaven to provide a fit throne for thy majesty? God said, no, angels, I'm not going to a throne, but to a cross. I'm going as a friend to man, because there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Proverbs 18:24. So leaning over the balconies of heaven, I see the angels, and I hear them talk so loud about the departure of God. They sang so majestically about the trip to redeem. Even the shepherds in the fields of Bethlehem heard the glorious song. Not to a palace, not to a royal throne, but to Bethlehem, to a humble couple, to a house by the side of the road, because in that house there'll be a barn, cattle, a manger. God will wrap his spirit in that flesh and call that flesh his son. And Jesus said later, he that seeth me hath seen the Father. And in reference to the Calvary Church here, our beloved departed bishop left these words. Calvary, the little church by the side of the road, where you can come in the cool of the evening and the quiet of the country to worship God. Oh, we will be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, O Lord. Whether on Jericho's walls, Mount Bethel, or the Good Samaritan Inn, or at our church, or a missionary station in some faraway distant land, there is warmth, love, forgiveness, and salvation in that little house by the side of the road. I'm going to leave you now, but conviction is seizing hearts all over this earth tonight. Find you a church that preaches the truth. Find you a missionary that will proclaim the Word of God with anointing and power. Bow your head wherever you are and repent. Submit to immersion in water in the name of Jesus Christ Almighty. God, even now as I speak to you, will fill you with His Spirit. You'll say with the psalmist, I will be satisfied with the goodness of thy house. Now at the close of the broadcast, the Holy Ghost directs me to do something I've never done. I want to use the poem again, The House by the Side of the Road. We used it at the beginning of the message, but it is so important that you understand and appreciate your church and the kindness of all of those who have been good to you. If a tear flows, that's all right. Let it go. Enjoy the emotion of the moment as we visit again the little house by the side of the road. There are hermit souls that live withdrawn in the peace of their self-content. There are souls like stars that dwell apart in a fellowless firmament. There are pioneer souls who blaze their path where highways never ran. But just let me live in a house by the side of the road and be a friend to man. Let me live in a house by the side of the road where the race of men go by, the men who are good and the men who are bad, as good and bad as I would not sit in this corner seat or hurl the cynic's ban. Just let me live in a house by the side of the road and be a friend to man.
Sunday Night Live is produced and distributed by the Calvary Pentecostal Church Incorporated. Please send your letters to Calvary or to Pastor Hicks, P.O. Box 715, De Quincy, Louisiana, 70633, United States of America. Or you may click on to our email with a message. Our email address is CalvarySNL, that's one word, CalvarySNL@AOL.com. Won't you let us hear from you this week, wherever you are in this whole wide world? Remember that Jesus Christ loves you, and so do we. And now, speaking for all the wonderful people who make Calvary their church home, this is Jim Armstrong thanking you for clicking on to Sunday Night Live. And may God bless you is our prayer.